I'm Derek Dennis, ABC News, with the President's Weekly Conversation.
This week, my administration released new information that contains that we're on track to cut the federal deficit by another $1.5 trillion by the end of this fiscal year, the biggest decline in a single year ever in American history, and the biggest decline on top of us having a $350 billion drop in the deficit last year, my first year as president. We also learned that for the first time since 2016, the Treasury Department is planning to pay down the national debt issued to the public this quarter. And for all the talk the Republicans make about deficits, it didn't happen a single quarter under my predecessor. Not once. The bottom line is the deficit went up every year under my predecessor, before the pandemic and during the pandemic. And it's gone down both years since I've been here. Period. They're the facts. And why is it important? Because bringing down the deficit is one way to ease inflationary pressures in an economy where a consequence of a war and gas prices and oil and food and it all, it's a different world right this moment because of Ukraine and Russia. We reduced federal borrowing and we helped combat inflation. This process is a great deal, is good news, but it didn't happen by itself. The previous administration increased the deficit every year it was in office, in part because of its reckless $2 trillion tax cut. Now you're tired of hearing me saying but a $2 trillion tax cut that was not paid for, and a tax cut that largely benefited the biggest corporations, 55 of which earned $40 billion in profits and paid not a single penny in income tax in 2020, and wealthiest Americans, like the billionaires, who on average pay just 8% in federal taxes. The previous administration not only ballooned the deficit, it undermined the watchdogs, the inspector generals, whose job it was to keep the pandemic relief funds from being wasted. Remember, at the time, I kept saying, they're going to fire the inspector generals. Well, they fired the inspector general. And in my administration, those watchdogs are back. The Justice Department has a chief prosecutor for pandemic fraud who's going to go after the criminals who stole billions in relief money meant for small businesses and American families, but never got to them, got in the pockets of criminals. When I came to office, we took a different approach across the board. With the American Rescue Plan and other actions, we started to grow the economy from the bottom up and the middle out. Rescue checks and tax cuts for working families that gave them just a little bit of breathing room and put food on the table and a roof over their heads. Remember the first year, all those long lines of automobiles lined up and going through a parking lot just to get a box of food in their trunk? We got vaccination shots in arms that helped us go from 2 million Americans who'd been vaccinated to more than 220 million Americans fully vaccinated. And we made it easy for millions of Americans to sign up for coverage under the Affordable Care Act, saving them an average of $2,400 a year. As a result of these and other economic recovery plans, we recovered faster than projected. A record 6.7 million jobs created last year, the most in the first year of any president in American history, and the fastest economic growth in any year in nearly four decades. And looking ahead, I have a plan to reduce the deficit even more, which will help reduce inflationary pressures and lower everyone's costs for families. Look, it's a plan that lets Medicare negotiate prices of prescription drugs, as they do with the Department of Veterans Affairs. We can cap the price of insulin at $35 instead of the hundreds of dollars, even $1,000 a month for some families. And my plan provides tax credits to utility companies to generate clean energy. And those companies are required to pass those savings on to families. I met with about a dozen of those utility CEOs here in the White House, and they confirmed this plan will lower energy bills for families immediately. My plan includes tax credits for consumers to purchase electric or fuel cell vehicles, new or used, which will save the typical driver about $80 a month not having to pay for gas at the pump. Tax credits for folks to buy solar panels and heat pumps. And more efficient windows and doors for their homes. Estimated savings $500 per year on average. And we can do these things by making sure that no one earning less than $400,000 a year will pay a single penny more in federal taxes. All we're asking is that the wealthiest Americans and the largest corporations begin to pay their fair share, at least part of their fair share. You've heard me say it before. I'm a capitalist. I believe you should be able to make as much money as you legally can. But just pay your fair share. There's no reason why a billionaire should be paying a lower tax rate than a teacher or a firefighter. That's in sharp contrast to what today's Republican Party is offering. And if they hadn't put this in print, you'd think I was making it up. Senator Rick Scott of Florida, United States Senator, who's leading the Republican National Senatorial Campaign Committee, released what he calls the ultra-MAGA agenda. It's extreme, as most MAGA things are. It will actually raise taxes on 75 million American families, over 95% of whom make less than $100,000 a year. Among the hardest hit, working families, kids with folks. Imagine you're a family of four and you don't make enough money to have federal taxes. You don't make enough money to pay them. You pay all your taxes, but you just don't make enough. And under this new plan, this tax plan, the ultra-MAGA agenda, while big corporations and billionaires are going to pay nothing more, the working class folk are going to pay a hell of a lot more. And it goes further than that. This extreme Republican agenda calls for Congress. Now, this is — I'm not making this up either. You ought to really think about this. It requires a vote, if it were to pass, every 5 years. The Congress would have to vote to reinstate or eliminate Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Social Security is something seniors have paid in for their whole life, and it has to be reauthorized.
That was the President's Weekly Conversation. I'm Derek Dennis, ABC News.